Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks in the deep backwoods of the Green Mountains of Vermont today, along with September. Close in heart. I'm just sitting here by this beautiful cabin. And welcome to Vibrant Living. And I want to welcome Leecha LaRose, who I've had the honor of working with, and close family member for a long time, maybe 18 years. But it's interesting how time kind of fades away when you feel a connection. A lot of life is really about that connection. So vibrant speaking. Well, welcome, Leecha.
Thank you, Glenn. Good afternoon.
Hey, you are.
And it sounds like Vermont, although it's still August.
We're cheating.
September too quickly. I know you are.
Well, I'm with September and August. Yeah.
Yeah.
So September carries the vibration of September. Yeah. So imagination. So I want to ask you this, Leecha. So what happened, how I developed vibrant speaking came by having conversations with people. Probably it started when I was in high school, because I biked to high school at a certain point, and then I would bike out in the spring as it got warmer out, and I would go to the farm stands, and I would visit people, and they would tell me these stories, and I started to realize that when a person tells their story from a place of vibrancy, it's very different at this level of sensation and what you sense than when it's kind of a counterfeit story. So I couldn't explain that to people, but I would notice that. I would kind of notice there were certain people I could listen to, and I could see their eyes would get brighter and they would breathe different. I had a sort of an epiphany. I read this book. Because certain things I cannot explain, they're just there, I don't know how to explain them. So I was reading this book about what's called Beyond Culture. And the book was really going into that when people get conditioned or processed or domesticated, they take on this quality of culture that's not really natural to them, but they take it on. And there was a story about these anthropologists who wanted to learn the secrets of basket weaving. They had went to this indigenous tribe and they wove these really beautiful baskets. And what happened was they kept asking the basket weavers to explain it, and they wouldn't explain it. But finally they sort of broke down because the anthropologists kept showing up. And finally, as they explained it, they lost it. They lost the ability to make the baskets. So what happened early on was, my mother would take me to natural food stores because I was kind of in this, I guess you could say it was a sort of like a health crisis. I didn't really know what was going on. So one of the things that I was exploring was food, nutrition. And I always felt there were certain people that I could say something to and other people I couldn't. And I noticed that was true for other people. Like I noticed there were certain people. And this, so kind of part of vibrant speaking is also vibrant listening. So how do we listen to someone in a way that they can bridge a new world, right? So like with the audience, I'd walk in sometimes and I realized, well, the audience, I felt like in some sense, when you speak to an audience, you're speaking to almost like a minefield, and you could you could relate to them in some sense non-verbally. So it take, you know, there's certain skills that I would discover, but in conjunction with that, I realized it was also giving the audience permission to be very, very spontaneous. When we did Unscripted Power, and Bernie Siegel's lecturings a couple of years ago, I invited the audience, which I realized was going to be very unusual for them, because I said to people, I said, if you're really moved, I want you to come up on stage and just let us know what you're noticing. Let us hear from you. And now no one went up on stage. Now, finally, Bernie was lecturing. Bernie was showing slides. Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote Love, Medicine, and Miracles. He was showing slides because I think it was 40 years now. He would never operate on anybody unless they drew a picture. He wouldn't. Actually, told the story about a kid who came in for it looked like an emergency appendix. But Bernie wouldn't let this guy get the surgery. He said, I need you to draw a quick picture for me. And Bernie looked at the picture and he says, you know what? He goes, tell me what's really happening. Because he didn't think this guy had an appendix. And the guy said, well, I just took a lot of drugs. So if you looked at the pictures are probably remarkable. There was one woman as an example. She'd had a pretty serious diagnosis. By the way, this is all connected to vibrant speaking, if you're listening, vibrant listening. So the idea is in each moment, there's a nonlinear moment. There's an adjoining moment that we could see and sense something that's not in a linear moment. So I tend to speak a little nonlinear. I tend to speak a little lateral. But there's this other moment where there's like a parallel universe to some extent. And so anyway, Bernie's showing these slides, and people are loving the slides. So in this particular slide, the woman sitting next to the radio, some kind of radioactive, I guess, radiation treatment. But if you look at a picture, she looks incredibly well. But then if you look at the top of the picture, the sky is all gold, and her body's very connected. And some of the pictures from the illness of the people that have been diagnosed, you see their bodies are very disconnected. Like, as an example, an arm to the right, or the legs are off the body, and, you know, that sort of thing. So anyway, I keep inviting people. I say, hey, you know what, if you're really moved, because I want to educate people in vibrant speaking that when they're moved by something, they can relate that to their voice, their body, and their imagination. Like it's all connected in that moment. So out of nowhere, this woman appears on stage, like kind of like very sort of out of sequence with my invitation. Her name was Doris Twilight, by the way, and she looked exactly like Doris Twilight. That was a character named Doris Twilight. And it was funny because Bernie looked at me like, who the heck is this woman, right? she just stood there. It was really a funny moment, you know. And Bernie's looking at me, and I'm like, so I walk over, and I go, oh, hi. And she goes, I'm Doris Twilight, and I'm taking you up on your offer to stand up here with Bernie Siegel. Now, what happened in the next moment, so vibrant speaking is all about being able to live in vital rhythmic pulsations. Vital. Your body's vital, and then your body functions on pulsations, right? And then rhythm. So the next thing you know, after Doris does this, I want to say, and I don't know if we got this on video, but within probably, I don't know, 5 minutes, everybody was up on stage dancing. So I was kind of sitting there saying, well, this is totally unscripted. We didn't script this at all. So the first principle of vibrant speaking is imagination, awakened imagination. And oftentimes I walk with people in the woods or I listen to them and I ask them to tell me a story, any story. And this is something you can do. Just find a story so you can feel the most alive in that story. You know, it could be from any time in your life. I guess an example, my mother's driving me to a, I haven't pulled this one out of the closet in years. My mother's driving me to a health food store in Long Island, and at the light, right as we were going to take a left, I think I had just discovered Jacqueline Lane. I had talked to Jacqueline Lane, and I just had this vision of being on a stage. And this is what you could do. I had this vision, and I felt it in my arms. I felt it in my bones. Like I felt it so deep. And then when the light changed, I felt the light changed and the car moved. I felt I was walking on stage. It was kind of like the light moved, the car moved. And then I felt I was carrying this other aspect that I hadn't had before. So awakened imagination is where you, as a speaker or a presenter, a workshop person, you kind of get a sense of bringing what you imagine into your life before you can, some, you know, before you see it, before you before it becomes, you know, it becomes what some people would say reality. And so that's a really significant part. So in Vibrant Speaking, the principles are awakened imagination, unscriptedness. So the script, so the script is the, going back to the counterfeit story and the real story, the vibrant story. And that, so what happened was, is when I was in the vibrant story, when you're in the vibrant story, all the nervousness, what you used to call nervousness, you feel this energy in your body, right? Because nervousness, when you start realizing it's energy and then you feel the connection to the vibrancy, you actually start to feel changes in your body. And it's really fun, by the way, it's really fun doing this with a group of people. So when I work with a group of people, a lot of times their imagination starts to wake up and they share with me images. I mean, one image that came to me was a woman who came to, this woman came to see me. She had such a contrast of images. So here's the two images. One, she sees me at a Starbucks. We meet at a Starbucks. I hadn't seen her before. I think I was just telling this in September, actually. I hadn't seen it before. So everything that I do with people has to do with vibrancy. So that's the common denominator, vibrancy. So she comes to see me for consultation. And she, by the way, she totally is the healthiest person in Starbucks. I don't care that she's been diagnosed with breast cancer. She is so radiant. And I see her and I can feel her as I walk in. She's right there. And we go back to this office, very beautiful office, and we sit down. And, you know, we talked a little bit. And this is what I usually say to people. I said, well, tell me the story that you might call disturbing. Tell me that story. And she says, well, that story is she goes to get radiation. And she feels that her mother and her sister are walking her into the graveyard. Pretty strong image, right? Walking into the graveyard. And she tells me that story. And then she says to me, obviously, she doesn't want to go to the hospital to get radiation. Makes sense. There's a graveyard. So I said, well, tell me another story. And she says, well, in this story, I'm at the base of the tree, and I can feel the energy coming up through the tree, and all the branches kind of open up and breathe. And so I said to her, I said, well, why don't you, let's be with that story for a moment. It's very different. How do you feel with that story? And she said, yeah. She goes, I want to grow that story. So this is, if she would tell me she wanted to give us a talk or write a book, we would start to build that story and let her see from that place on the mountain. And if she had an inside partner or she was married or she had someone close, we would then share that together to amplify that other story. Or you could say, in some ways, she's creating another archetype or another imagery. So I saw her that once, and she wrote me like 4 months later. I hadn't heard from her. And she told me she had recovered, you know, and that story blossomed in her life. So I didn't tell her, by the way, I didn't say to her not to do radiation. I just said to her, let's just examine those stories. So I learned, or I discovered this, the vibrant speaking as the phase one, because I realized that in every moment that we would call linear, there's another moment or a parallel moment where things are alive. And I think that children see that, probably animals sometimes. And in this world, we put on the pedestal this one linear interpretation. So as a facilitator or coach, that's really beautiful when that happens, when people come alive to that. And of course, that's in some sense what I would do when things would come to me around the coaching work. It came in that way. So I would see, like as an example with vibrant matchmaking, I didn't really think about it in a linear way. I just felt when I was with couples that there was something that happened I could feel alive to in a way that I didn't before in a linear moment. So a linear moment, and these things, linear moments have value, but this is another moment where you really feel into the thing. And you already feel you're there. It's already feel like if you already enter the forest, you feel the sense of connection with the animals and the trees in a very different way. And this sort of opens up another whole level of you know, you could say energetic nutrition, you could say rapport. And of course in life, the more we pay attention to this level, the more you'll notice it, particularly as a speaker. You know, a lot of times I walk in a room and I see a few people already, I feel like just come for this message. And it's nothing like that, you know, as a speaker, that when you come and you feel people come for your message, and it's such a confirmation. So when you do your imagination, use your like an imagination. Sometimes I see people's eyes. I see people's eyes, and I see them like breathing, and I feel like they're right there. And then when that happens, it kind of, it's like an amplification. So I don't really focus on the, I focus on the energy. The nervousness, the only time I felt nervous around speaking is when I had to rehearse something. And this I found for many people, rehearse something or, you know, read something, because I didn't feel comfortable in my reading. So those are acquired habits. Those are acquired habits. So when we work with people on scripting, it's kind of like taking them to this place where they have ground zero. Do we have Nate Hughes yet? Or Nate has not arrived, Chris, huh? God, Nate Hughes. Nate Hughes is a coordinator at this wonderful center in the Catskills in New York. I'm going to put you on the spot. I hope I don't really put you on the spot. What's the name of the center that we did? You know the name of the center that Nate works with, Lisa?
It's, I think that I'm hopefully pronouncing it correctly. It's Menla?
Yeah, Menla. Yes,
yeah.
Menla.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
Beautiful.
So what happened with Chris, with Nate, we had this wonderful, vibrant, I call it infinite collaboration. So we had a conversation where I was learning about vibrant collaboration or infinite collaboration with Nate. And I said, why don't you just come on and do a series? And we're going to bring this experience there next year. And so I said to Nate to come on because I want you to do some to you and Ariel and because he was just an amplifier. So the other thing is when you get into vibrant speaking, I have people pay attention. You could do this right now. Make a list of the places you feel really alive around. So the places that when you're there, I want you to really pay attention to the places where you feel more vibrant. And then pay attention to your vibrancy kind of like dwindles a little bit. You know, pay attention to that. Pay attention to the how spaces impact you and who you're around. That's something that that I do regularly. And we teach a course called Being Paid for Who You Are. And that's a lot of what we do. Kind of like, what do you really enjoy? It's kind of the opposite. When you were growing up, what did your parents, I asked people this on a few shows ago, what was the mantra of your household? Is there one thing your parents said to you? And it could be really a good thing or, you know, a thing that you're challenged with. I was curious, what was the one thing that you remembered from your childhood about, what was your significant life mission? That's a big question, by the way. But we'll continue. We'll hear Lisa's response. I hope I don't put it on the spot again. You're not on the spot, right?
No.
All right, your life's precious. Enjoy it. Stay with us. Appreciate you guys a lot.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Vibrant Living, Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with Lisa LaRose, who's absolutely brilliant and wondrous, and has been there for me through many seasons, all right? She's been there for many seasons. Anybody who's been through many seasons, that's a powerful thing. So happy she's with us. We're exploring the idea of vibrant speaking. how to really impact and speak to people on the stage, and how to become a way of life. So I asked you, Lisa, I asked about your message, the message of the household.
And my message in my household was always that we could do anything that we wanted to do. We could achieve whatever it was that we wanted. I had two great cheerleaders that were my parents. And so I never heard, you know, any negativity around, no, you can't do that. No, you can't try that. So I was very, very blessed. And I think, Glenn, for me, you know, it's interesting because my very first speaking class when I was in college, you know, and you take speech, it was a mandatory class. You know, we got to the class, and it sort of sparked my idea of, you know, your imagination. The teacher didn't seem like was anywhere to be found, and, you know, we're sitting there talking, and everybody's looking at their watches and wondering, it's like the first day of class, where's the teacher, where's the teacher? About 20 minutes in, up pops this young man, and he was our teacher, he was our professor, and he said, you know, first of all, you know, it's great to get to know you, you know, kind of like, welcome to my living room, you know, this is pretty informal, and I know the university wants you to buy this book, don't buy it, because we don't need it, you can't learn speaking from a book, you know, that it really came from the heart, and so we, you know, during that course and that exploration, you know, we learned skills exactly that you're speaking about, you know, different ways to use your imagination. One of the speeches we had to do was a sales speech, and we weren't allowed to use any words, which seems like an oxymoron. So people had to come up with some pretty creative ideas in how to sell something without speaking. And, you know, it was really, there were so many creative, there was about 50 people in the class, and everybody had one more imaginative idea after another. And I think that's, you know, the message with vibrant speaking. I mean, you're not looking for a cookie cutter way to you know, share with an audience. You're looking for something, you know, that you're communicating from the heart and really speaking and that connection. And and again, it goes a lot with what you're saying about what was the message in your house. So my house, you know, if I was to stand before and get, you know, address a group of people that I was lecturing to, I would never have any fears about it because I had, again, the greatest cheerleaders who said, you know, you can do anything. So in your home, Glenn, what was your family's mantra?
Well, I was just thinking about it. I was thinking, you got to go to college. You got to go to college. It's so funny, Riz. You got to go to college. That was a strong one. I said that four times, though. Let's see. You know what happened in my household? My father was like a national sales manager for this company, Harman Kardon and Dual High Fidelity Companies. And he didn't enjoy going to work at all. And so I guess another message, you know, there's a great thing about messages that this friend of mine tells, and it's like this. He says, his name's Phil Lout. He wrote a book called Money Is My Friend. But he says the message is, and I experienced this in my household. Like he says, your parents never really pull you aside and say, hey, it's really a terrible thing going to work in the morning. What they do is they kind of come home, they take medications, and they don't, you know, the energy's low. And so he says, you're also taught that you're not supposed to take money from friends, from relatives. Friends, relatives, neighbors. Well, anyways, it was like the only one left. I think the only category was strangers. The other only category was like known enemies. So I think in my household, I was honest to God. The first time I departed from the message of my family was Ann Green. Ann Green, for a very short period of my life, I worked temporary jobs, but I was ready to teach seminars, but I didn't really know how to do it. I didn't understand then it's a lifestyle. Like, I was a lifestyle entrepreneur. I had no idea I was. I just had no idea. So Anne told me. Actually, the last job she sent me to was to put styrofoam squares in cinder blocks. And I went there, and I called her to tell her that I was leaving the job. And she said, great. She goes, I want you to teach seminars. So the first family message that I got to teach and to in some ways, you know, being a pioneer in coaching, was really from Anne Green. And then she came to pick me up. Like, she pretty much gave me, you know, they say in a family system there's no neutral messages, but her message was so positive. So in my household, I think my parents, they, you know, I call it the formula. So the formula would be that you had, like, before they could tell me I could do anything, there were a lot of prerequisites. So whereas it sounds like in your house, maybe your parents were just like an unconditional slot prior for you.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's pretty amazing. I don't know what to say.
No, we didn't have any prerequisites. And I think,
wow.
Yeah, I'm a Canadian, and, you know, so college
yeah.
was a different yeah. You know, there wasn't as much emphasis on it. It was really about your exploration and your own path. And, you know, my father kind of, you know, beat to his own drummer. You know, he was a professional hockey, and then, you know, we moved a lot, and so I never really got ingrained in anybody's patterns of the way that I was supposed to be to fit into that, you know, cookie cutter mold that you were speaking about.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I just want to see if in fact, do we have Dr. Teschner with us? Dr. Teschner. I thought we had Dr. Teschner with us, but okay.
You've gotten
cookie
getting with you.
Oh my God, that's even okay. I want to say great welcome, Nate. I want to introduce you to Lisa LaRose.
Oh wow!
Hello, Lisa.
Wonderful.
Nice to meet
Hello,
you.
Hello, Nate. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. I want to say something about you, Nate. I want to say that I want to tell Lisa that we were talking about family. We were talking about. I asked Lisa before the break, what was her message in her household? Like, what was the family mantra? What was the family thing that she heard? And she said pretty much, you know, that you could do anything. And I realized in my household that wasn't the case. There was a lot of prerequisites and potentially punishments. And so I was thinking the next span of time, other than Anne Green, who got me my, who gave me these temporary jobs. And she always would encourage me to speak and to kind of bring up this vibrancy. But when I spoke to you, I was like, wow, I just feel much more alive speaking to you, Nate. I was thinking, I got to speak to Nate again. It was like my vibrant listening came alive speaking to you. So I want to, and you also told me you've been living in a high manifestation state or the high manifestation zone. So I want to deeply welcome you regularly as a team member and part of the Vibrant Living family. So welcome.
I appreciate that. We kind of spread it around, right? We just raise each
other's
energy and manifestation levels by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
I appreciate that.
Oh, I appreciate you a lot, and I appreciate Lisa here today. What's the story? What's the thing? Because I could feel you're a really strong life energy. I could feel it from you. What's kind of allowed you to be and express? Like, what do you feel has been a vision? Like, if there was something in your life that really opened you up, was it always that way, or you had a certain experience, or it's always been this way?
So, you know, when I think back to being a kid, I think about always questioning what was happening around me. I had parents that were your average kind of parents, you know, middle class, decent jobs. There was tension between the relationship, and that tension trickled down to us as kids. And there was always a question in my mind of why society had to be the way it was, why we had to fit this mold that our parents were putting us in, kind of like you were saying, is they you had to go to college. You had to go to college. I didn't quite go with that, but I was always saying, why do I have to go to high school, right? Why do I have to sit in this classroom and be dumbed down by these highly conditioned energy patterns that are very low vibrancy? And I mean, I couldn't have put it in that context at the time.
I like how you put it, actually.
Rebellious. It was much more of a rebellious, I'm not going to do this kind of thing. And it wasn't until I went through college and realized that, you know, this constant achievement kind of mindset, this constant searching mindset doesn't get us anywhere. And it was in that moment where I finally surrendered, and that just opened up everything for me. And that, I think that's where you talk about where the vibrant speaking comes from is we live in this world of emotion and thought most of the time.
Yeah.
And when we're caught up in that, it disconnects us from the energies that are truly meant to push us where the universe has us going. And when I did that, just the kind of things that happened and manifested for me, could never even have dreamed and my wildest dreams before that. And I'll just tell a quick story about where I ended up, where I am right now. Ooh. Was literally my brother and I were going to go hiking, and we had it all mapped out where we were going to go, but good technology and Google Maps had it planned out differently. It took us to Panther Road instead of Panther Mountain, and that put me at the heart of a spiritual center that I had no idea was on the map. And
really?
I had been calling for that for some time over the last month in my meditations, and I was interviewing for some high-powered, you know, assistant chief financial officer positions, and intuitively mm-hmm. they didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. The energy wasn't there. And I happened to see a job posting for the center called Menlo that I found. It was a seasonal position. I had to surrender all these things again, right? My MBA, my whole high power position that I could take, and I just took a seasonal front desk position because that's what the universe was telling me to do. And again, that's just where this manifestation comes into play, because instantly things fell into place. You know, within a very short period of time, I was in a position where I was creating retreats, I was booking retreats, I was creating a space where other people could hold this energy mm-hmm. and manifest their lives. And it just, that's how it works, how it reverberates mm-hmm. around.
Wow. Nate,
I just want to say that
question.
Was
so,
go ahead, Lee.
No, I was going to say it's extremely intentional. So, were you sort of the impetus then for the Lifestyle Reset program? Because it sort of sounds like that's exactly what you did.
So, a lot of the stuff that happens here at Menla, a lot of it has already been in place. My main position is to support that, and then moreover, my main position is to try to get as many different groups from as many different backgrounds here so that they can all experience their full potential. And a lot of the groups that come through here, a lot of people might not have been exposed to the spiritual world or this level of what we can manifest in our lives and this positive thinking. And just getting one group here with 30 people is enough. Just if two of those people wake up, is enough to have a total manifestation beyond what we can even imagine.
Beautiful.
I love what you were saying, how so your vibrant story or your vibrant connection was it moved you beyond your, I guess, your very strong academic background, which kind of had the certain drive or the certain way that you were supposed to go. So what happened when you hit the split in the road, so to speak? Did you feel like the universe or destiny kind of met you and kind of amplified the connection to another path that you didn't see, you know, let's say during your academic course?
Yeah, I mean, and kind of in, when I graduated from graduate school, it was right at the time of the financial crisis. So that's actually what pushed me into spirituality, because I was like, wow, this is hard. I need to find something to guide me because this doesn't feel right what I'm doing. And so that was the start of it. And I still hadn't made it all the way there. And when I found Menla, it was more of a feeling that, of lightness, essentially, is how I can describe it. Everything just felt like it was supposed to be that way. And that was the first time in my life where I really had felt something like that, because intuition is constantly suppressed by emotions and mm-hmm. the thought patterns that we have with those emotions. And when we're constantly drumming through that in our heads, we don't necessarily pick up on those subtle things that tell us exactly where we're supposed to go, or maybe not even tell us, but just allow us to follow that. And I finally made it to that point where some of those thoughts, patterns, and those emotional energies kind of dulled down and allowed my true intuition to come forward, which then aligns with what's really supposed to manifest in front of us.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you came to know your truth, which I think a lot of people, look for, seek, you know, they're not really quite sure, you know, what that means for them. And I think you've touched on a couple different things. You talked about, you know, meditation and quieting the mind and, you know, really allowing yourself to tune in to your own inner knowing. And that's a really beautiful thing. I really appreciate you sharing that with everyone.
It's just, it makes me happy to be able to share it, just because if one person hears that, you know, it can make a world of difference for us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just say, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with Alicia LaRose and Nate Hughes, who's, I would say, visionary marketing, amplifier of energy, Vibrant Living team member. He's here with us today. You know, I wanted to acknowledge this segment was going to be on the healing power of intimacy. And I wanted to ask you, from your individualistic path to working with groups to intimacy in your life, how has that transformed your intuitive path? How did that transform your relationship path? Did you notice, what was the connection in those two worlds?
Yeah, I think back to what a close friend of mine said maybe 10 years ago, and it might not be a spiritual quote, but he said, you know, we can shed friends and acquaintances like dead skin, and that sounds a little harsh, but that's kind of what I equate it to, because all of a sudden there were a lot of connections in my life that no longer resonated with me, and that's a truly astounding moment when you realize that. And then all of a sudden you start connecting in a synchronistic kind of way with people that cross your path in what seems like a random way, but in no sense of how the universe unfolds was it random at all. It was meant to happen. And these people then guide you further along the path, and you build things. And I think the level of intimacy just gets so much deeper, because you're no longer connecting on this superficial level of the way the world operates right now in society, of like, we've got to do A, B, C, and D. You're having true conversation that really flows. You're truly listening. You're not allowing the day-to-day conditioning thought patterns to impress upon what you're going to say and how that affects the conversation. So it's just a much more open conversation. It's a long-winded way of saying it. It's more open conversation, right? You really see someone for who they really are, and that when you do that, it allows them to unfold and share even more. And then together, those energies can really unfold a lot more.
All right, we're going to continue. Nate Hughes, Lisa LaRose, Life's Precious, enjoy it. Stay with it.
We'll talk about that.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. I've been really enjoying the conversation with Nate Hughes and Lisa LaRose, our co-host. She's been a producer. She put a wonderful event together that I had the honor of doing some of the dialogues and conversations. And we're going to release that publicly, right? That was kind of been quiet. At least she told me I got to be quiet about it. if you put together a wonderful conference, we can let more people know about it, right? At least I'm being quiet about it. It's hard to do for me, you know. Yeah, you're welcome. I used to have this woman come see me, Nate and Lisa, where she had published this book. It was actually a published book for people that wanted to, you know, write spiritual books and kind of soulful books. And we became friendly, and she would come to the station. And one day she said she wanted to introduce me to her husband. And her husband was a pretty renowned editor. He edited those books, the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Because Nate was saying, you know, we have our conditioned conversations. We have our conditioned conversations. And when our conditioned conversations, it's really hard to feel that relational pulse sometimes. It's kind of like a different thing. So I had a strong opinion about what was happening at the local college, which I didn't realize was so strong before I met Deborah and Jeff. And so what it was is there was what I'd call like a weight loss camp or a fat loss camp. And I always thought they were pretty – they didn't treat the kids that well. It seemed like it was all about getting around the college and giving them water and kind of calorie restriction. And so anyway, I go to their office. And some, you ever assume sometimes that you're all on the same wavelength or something? I don't know. I guess I thought they would have – if I said that, they would have said, yeah, that's horrible to treat kids this way. And so they say to me in the conversation, oh, we know where you live because there's a college near you that we send our kids. And rather than listening, right, so you want to listen, you don't want to pitch. So rather than listening, I said, oh, there's this really terrible program at the college where they have the kids lose weight. And then the person next to me sort of kicked me, and I realized, oh, they send the kids to the program that I have this oppositional view on. So I didn't have another meeting, by the way. And so what you were saying, so shedding the counterfeit story so you can have a deeper conversation. So this network that we do is actually a platform for people who want to be speakers and presenters and write their book from their body and really discover this other relational phase. So now a story came to mind. When I was like 18 or 19, I heard this guy lecture in New York. You kind of bubbled something about what you said, Nate, hit me on this one. So I went to see this guy lecture. He was in his 80s. His name was Dr. William Baum. And he was lecturing about the colon and health. And I just was sitting there thinking, I never met anybody who talked this way. And I went to see him. I had this really miraculous meeting with him. When I walked in his office, he'd been on 42nd Street for 60 years. When I walked in his office, he threw at me a quarter. And on the back of the quarter was his wife. His wife was considered the most beautiful woman in the world. When she was born, she had a back ailment. She was a hunchback. But through working with this guy, Bernard McFadden, and he threw me the coin, and he put me on a protocol that day. And he sent me home with a dehydrated can of, vegetables, and he wanted me to just be on this protocol. And he gave me a colonic, which is totally new to me, a thorough inner cleansing. I get on the train back to Long Island. And I get to my parents' house. I'd never done this before. And my friend's father, Lee Cuby, he came over to me and he says, what's happening? And I told him what I did. I guess I was silly. You know, the Sufis say, don't tell the truth to the point of stupidity. Maybe I told too much truth. I don't know. But he says to me, he had like a very big waistline and he wasn't in such good health. But he said to me, he says, you know, Glenn, he goes, you could die doing something like this. I remember thinking like, wow, that was a very different way of seeing the situation. I'm doing this protocol, yeah. And he's like a die. So I kind of – that was interesting that you said – that's an interesting way to, you know, see that sometimes what people do is they repeat to you maybe the thought viruses they're most familiar with because that's what's not normal to them, let's say.
Yeah. You
know? I would totally agree. Are we going to – since you're going to be speaking at the next Vibrant Living Forum, I'm putting you on the spot, I guess. What's going to be your title for your talk?
Title for my?
Yeah. I was just curious.
Well, it's probably going to be something about how we can manifest and pay attention to pure intention so that we don't fall into this pattern of undesired consequences that come with what we manifest, because ultimately we do manifest everything, but when the intention isn't pure and we're not truly centered with ourselves,
yeah,
everything that surrounds it, the context around what we get that is what we want kind of disrupts and makes what we got not really what we want, even though it was what we wanted, because that intention wasn't pure. Maybe it was, you know, maybe it was clouded with jealousy. Maybe it was clouded with greed, delusion.
Mm-hmm.
So something about pure manifestations probably is where I go with that. Pure manifestations in the context, pure manifestations in the context surrounding it. So that's you putting me on the spot.
I did. I hope that was a good spot.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah. I was put on the spot a couple of times, and initially I didn't like it, but then it seemed to have certain benefits.
No,
they were strong situations. Strong.
Yeah. It pulls things deep out of us when that happens.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If we go back to what we were just talking about. Yeah. Right.
You talk about
conditioned thought patterns.
Yeah.
We can't jump right to those if we want to be authentic. We really have to go deep inside to answer something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went through a cycle.
Go ahead, Glenn. I was going to say I liked what you were saying about, shedding friends like skin, because when you speak about vibrant. I know it sounds funny, and it's something that I had to learn. You talk about intimate relationships, that sometimes as you grow, obviously you want your friends to grow with you, but sometimes if they don't, then you have to use discernment. I loved your language, Nate, about what's in resonance. And that's one of the things that even Dr. Tesna talks about, finding things within your beliefs that we may think that that's what we want, but then actually when you start to work through it, you find out that there's something that's not congruent in your belief system that's keeping you from that. And I think that's what you're also seeing with manifesting, because you have a belief about what you think it is you want, but deep down at your core, it's not congruent with the truth of who you were meant to be. So.
Absolutely, yeah. You just said it a little differently than I did, but I would agree 100%.
I'm just laughing because I have that with September. My close soulmate here. We were just talking about how suddenly language gets in the way, but really, if you listen deeply, you guys have the same. Actually, you do have the same language. You just may be expressing it a little differently. I want to acknowledge Dr. Tesna. You go to learn about Dr. Tesna's work. So I would say we were going to get into today, actually, how to remove your beliefs from your body. How do you remove your beliefs from your body? So since you're subbing for Dr. Tesha and you're a vibrant living team member and you come up with this manifestation soul journey talk, which is going to sell internationally, we're going to let you step in for Dr. Tesha, obviously. So what would you say about this idea?
Let's talk about that.
It was a big space, and here you are.
Here I am feeling it. Wow. Yeah. I guess we knew this day was going to be big. I wouldn't feel comfortable talking directly to that in the sense, but to take a kind of a tangent on the same path is something I've been working with lately about how we do hold things in the body. And sometimes meditation can be an escape from actually being conscious of those emotions that we hold in our body, right? And those emotions can be held neurologically in a lot of different places in the body. And we just go in autopilot, unconscious, and those throw us into emotional ruts that they take us off that course of where we can vibrantly manifest things. And it's really important to not just get to these meditational states, but also to use mindfulness to come back into the body
so that
we could see where our false beliefs link up to emotions and what emotions are being held, where in the body they're being held, and when we unconsciously allow that to rule us through a thought process. And it goes really deep. Because the English language itself kind of fails us in a way. You think of a lot of emotion words that I've dubbed umbrella words, because they aren't just one word. And we could think of love, we could think of jealousy, we could think of many of these words that,
yeah,
that's a branch of many different integral emotions that you could be feeling if you're feeling those things. And it takes true mindfulness to zero in so that we can not only recognize what that exact emotion is, what's causing it, so that we can let go and move past that kink in our body that's holding us in that habitual rut.
I love what you said. So I love the, yes, it's funny. Many, many years ago, someone I knew had sent this tape out called Stop Meditating and Start Living. So I think that as years went on, I appreciated a more integral model that you know, because sometimes we could avoid something and then hide in meditation, really, that in some sense we have these relational opportunities or to experience our body. I was playing with a world-famous author playing tennis, and he kept saying to me he didn't want to go to this funeral. And I hit him a lob, and he felt really bad and hurt his back, and I knew he didn't want to go to the funeral. So our bodies are always, right, always kind of playing out this, you know, certain dimension. Although I did go to see a pretty famous lecturer, a spiritual lecturer, and one of the things he asked us to do was to forgive him for not feeling well. Because part of the teaching is representing was that the idea of illness is a defense against the truth. But I realized the people in the room, you could get rigid with spiritual notions, right? So he said, forgive him for not. And I really appreciated that he said that, you know. And everybody went to dinner and they wondered if he was gonna get, you know, feel better. And I kind of enjoy the bigger conversation or the bigger awareness. And not escaping or being, what do they call it, spiritual bypassing or some of the other, you know, perhaps try. I love it. Yeah, I love what you're bringing up. So it was an example.
Spiritual tangents. What's that? Is what I like to call. I like to call them spiritual tangents.
Yeah. I guess Lisa liked that. You got an endorsement for Lisa just now.
All right.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I have been known to go off on spiritual tangents many a time. You know, I always say that I'm not in the driver's seat, and so I have to kind of pay attention. If something calls and it may not make sense, to my conscious mind, but my soul, you know, kind of like you with the Google Maps, you get directed to a place that you never expected to be. And
exactly.
The most delightful things unfold and await you by going, you know, on the path less traveled, for sure.
Totally.
Well, I want to acknowledge Maureen Curry, who's a partner at Natural Awakenings in Rhode Island. Check out Natural Awakenings in Rhode Island. And also up in Stowe, Vermont, we got the Stowe Flake and all the wonderful people I met up there. And then also, of course, Dr. Teschner. Who I actually introduced. She had about 130 people come here or talk to Paulo. And so imagine if you could remove the beliefs from your body, but also maybe your partner's body. She teaches these workshops, and she's going to be on with us next week. And we're going to talk about removing these stumbling blocks and how to go beyond escaping, you know, kind of escaping to things that we might be habituated to. Of course, my friends did love. I lived on the block from the Vipassana Center. And they found it very funny when I said I put up a new website called Why I Hate the Vipassana Center. Because I think what they found funny was the rigidity of the Vipassana Center. So if we're getting more offered by something, maybe we could step out of it and feel a little of that fluidity, you know what I mean? A little fluidity and not
right,
be, right? Yeah, I knew you would dig that somehow. I don't know why. I just felt that. Why don't you go ahead and give out the website for the center, that wonderful center. I'm so psyched to see you and to be at the center and, go ahead,
absolutely.
Please, Nate. What's the center
yeah,
that you're...
Absolutely. It's Menla Retreat and Spa, and it's menla.us. If I could say anything about coming up here and just kind of in line with the context of what we're talking about today, I would talk about the Tibetan Dream Yoga Retreat that we have coming up in October with Dr. Nita, who is one of the most modern and progressive Tibetan doctors, and he'll delve into how dream yoga can be an integral part of our practice in life and how we can use dream practice to kind of manipulate our reality and see what kind of a delusion it is. And when we can start doing that in dreams, it becomes even easier in life to realize that we also can manipulate life. That means we can manipulate emotions, move through emotions. That's just a really short blurb on that, but it kind of falls in line with what we're talking about today. So that's the only reason I plugged that.
I love it. I love it. I want to bring September to this beautiful. Yeah, and you have two infrared saunas, I believe, right? Two infrared saunas,
regular sauna, yeah. Steam room. We've got. Yeah. If I could say anything that our center offers that is not offered in a lot of other centers, is that we're in the heart of like the spiritual sacred ground that dates back to natives using it as sacramental ground, and it's been passed on through lineage to continue to be a healing center throughout the ages. And you'll feel that energy when you come here. We're surrounded by thousands of acres of protected New York State land. We're on 320 acres, so it's nature here. Mm-hmm. And we all know how healing nature can be, how nature can pull us out of those habitual patterns, how it can allow us to really come in touch with ourselves and manifest what we really need to. So, come on.
Hey, Nate, I want to thank you. Since I've met you, I feel kindredship and a connection with you that's really, I appreciate you deeply. I appreciate you being here. You'll be here again. Thanks for your innovation of your talk title. Thank you, Lisa. Your deep presence and contribution, I'm just very grateful for. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. And we'll be with you next time here on the Vibrant Living Network. And we profoundly appreciate our relationship with Om Times Radio, bringing forward the Vibrant Living Network. 413-345-3747. If you want to be in touch, 413-345-3747. Your life's precious. Enjoy it. Thanks.